PR comes from WeatherTech, maker of custom-fit floor mats and floor liners made in the USA. Learn more at WeatherTech.com or 1-800-CAR-MATS.
WCVE Public Radio. Time now for the Monday morning business news analysis with Brian Ford of RBC Wealth Management, who joins us on the line now. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Wayne. How you doing?
Just fine, thank you. Well, at the end of the month, let's take a look back. I've heard you say on this program many times over the years that as January goes in the markets, sometimes that's how the year goes. How does it look to you?
Well, I'd say as we sit here on the last day of January, that augurs well for the market. It's been a pretty good month for stocks, or for stock investors, that is. As you say, there's about an 80% correlation between January and the rest of the year. And so far, the U.S. has bounced about 5 or 7% up for the month of January. Overseas, those countries that did so poorly in 2011 have bounced well over 10% in many countries in Europe and in Asia. Interestingly, the big swings that were with us almost daily in 2011 have really been absent this year in 2012. The swings are plus or minus 100 points per day on low volume. I know it sounds like a lot, but that's actually very small these days. It's something that George Costanza on the old Seinfeld show would call serenity now. It's kind of weird. The question now, of course, Wayne, is does the rally have legs in the face of more concerns from Europe? We just heard that Greece rejected the terms of another bailout package this weekend. S&P earnings on our side of the pond are not as robust as they were last quarter thus far, and we have the jobs report coming on Friday. Wayne, I have to throw this in there. I noted over the weekend that the Chinese New Year started last week. Did you see this?
Oh, yeah, right.
They're now calling it the Year of the Dragon. And it's pretty obvious to me because if you look at the candidates for president, they're all breathing fire on each other.
Yeah, you're right. Well, let's look ahead now a bit. What is the Fed likely to do about interest rates?
Well, that's a good question. And Wayne, today, forthwith, I'm going to give my version of the State of Union on a bunch of subjects, including that and others. I'm not sure what my official approval rating is, but here we go. The State of the Union for interest rates is puny. Last week we heard that officially that the Federal Reserve has changed their outlook and will hold interest rates to essentially zero through 2014 at their earliest. They obviously are not content with the average GDP for the U.S. last year was below 2% on average, and they remain cautious. You know, Wayne, this continued policy, which, by the way, I will note, has one notable dissenter, and that's Richmond Federal Reserve President Jeff Lacker. This policy has enormous implications for investors of all sizes and shapes. Retirees seeking interest to live on are really being squeezed right now. Banks are finding it nearly impossible to make money with the spreads on interest rates being so tight. And pension plans across the country remain underfunded because basically, their assumptions did not plan for a 0% interest for about 6 years. Bottom line, don't plan on quote-unquote normal interest rates anytime soon, whatever that means to you. This is probably a good time for investors to reevaluate their mix of investments between traditional bonds, you know, government bonds and CDs and dividend-paying stocks and other types of investments.
Apple has been much in the news, some controversy about labor practices in China, but the big thing, they're just floating in cash, it would seem.
Oh, my goodness. The State of the Union for Apple is bountiful. Last week, the technology company reported its best quarter ever, period. Not a bad start for new CEO Tim Cook, who took over for the recently departed CEO Steve Jobs. Wayne, wrap your mind around some of these numbers. Apple reported revenue sales of $46 billion for the quarter alone. That is more than the GDP of over 100 countries on the earth. Number two, Apple reported net income, or what we'll call profit, of $13 billion just for the quarter. Wayne, that is more than the profit of Intel, Microsoft, and Google combined. Apple also said their cash on hand had ballooned to $98 billion. I mean, these numbers are enormous. $98 billion, that's more than 95% of all the companies on the S&P 500. I mean, these are astounding numbers and likely will lead the company to pay a special cash dividend this year. That's kind of interesting. Unless you think they are resting on their laurels, check this out. A new iPad is expected in March. A new iPhone is due by the summer. And Apple TV is due by the fall. All this, and they still won't show any revenue from selling the iPhone in China until next quarter.
Yeah, and another reminder of how much the tech sector is dominating everything, Facebook is going to issue an IPI this week, I think, and it's expected to be an all-time record. Is that right?
Yeah, I would say the State of the Union for Facebook is promising. The social networking pioneer is preparing to file its IPO this week. With a likely schedule, they will debut as a publicly traded stock by about May. This is expected to be the biggest Internet IPO ever, raising about $10 billion, which will value the company somewhere around $75 to $100 billion. Wayne, that's not bad for a company started less than 8 years ago. By some accounts, Facebook now has between 800 million to 1 billion users, and they certainly hope not to follow the example of Pandora and Groupon, which IPO'd last year, but investors soured on pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Wayne, another item on the IPO market, New York used to be the center of the universe for IPOs, but for the third year in a row, that honor goes to Hong Kong. Surprisingly enough, IPOs in even Europe were up over 25% last year, despite all their mess. Why is the U.S. slipping? It's hard to say, but some analysts point to the Sarbanes-Oxley accounting laws passed several years ago as why a lot of companies are listing their stock elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Super Bowl Sunday coming up, and I will not ask you to predict the game unless you really choose to, but financially speaking, it's going to be even a bigger bonanza than usual. The TV commercials selling for record amounts, and the ratings for viewers on TV expected to set records. What's the economic impact of the Super Bowl?
The State of the Union for the NFL, Wayne, is flush. The Super Bowl is a Sunday, but basically the record ads, $3.5 million for 30-second ads. There were 70 of them. They're sold out. All this despite a painful six-month labor dispute this past spring and summer. No matter, the NFL plods along. We'll have the most-watched show of the year this Sunday night.
Okay. Thanks to Brian Ford of RBC Wealth Management for his weekly analysis of the business news. Brian, talk to you next time.
Bye, Wayne.
Thanks. Portions of today's programming are made possible by Howard Ligon and his family in Virginia and Texas, remembering their beloved Maggie on what would have been their 47th anniversary.